I will wait outside, General, Hardy interrupted. When you are ready, we ride immediately to Frederick, where you will relieve Hooker and assume command of the army. Bugger the devil, Meade shouted. Bile rushed up his throat. It is improper for me to show up at Army headquarters without Hooker sending for me. You know this better than anyone, Colonel. As Lincoln's messenger initiating previous changes of command, you know that McDowell sent for McClellan. McClellan sent for Burnside, and Burnside sent for Hooker. Good Lord, this is madness. We must wait for Hooker to send for me. Hardy was respectful but insistent. In this exceptional circumstance, time is of utmost importance. We are to travel to Hooker's headquarters immediately. I accept all local responsibility for the protocol of our orders. Hardy had carefully emphasized the hour. An icy chill shot down Meade's spine. This is going to be an awkward situation for both Hooker and me. Hooker thought his position was secure because of the impending battle. Hardy nodded, his face showing no emotion. If there was anything Meade understood in his bones, it was duty. Even as he resisted, instinct was taking over, invoking his inherent inclination to plan. No time to worry about hurt feelings. In a few hours, he would be commanding the army. He needed to gain an awareness of the situation, the location of dispersed troops and enemy forces immediately. I will ask Colonel Locke to have someone saddle your horse and prepare an additional mount for me, said Hardy. He saluted and departed the tent. Meade reread Lincoln's order and Halleck's letter. A dark void filled his soul, the emptiness consuming everything inside. He finished dressing, blew out the lantern, and left the tent. Colonel Locke and the rest of his personal staff were waiting anxiously. Meade and Locke exchanged salutes, and Meade said quietly, I've been ordered to report to Hooker's headquarters. I will take Captain Meade with me. That's all I can tell you now. Locke's face was ashen. His mouth gaped. Yes, sir, he said, staring at Meade as if Hardy were escorting him to his execution. 4:15 a.m. Meade walked over to Baldy and mounted. After a glance at his staff, he turned toward Frederick. They rode together, Meade and Hardy abreast, Captain Meade trailing behind. No one spoke. Meade had heard the rumors about a general's revolt, hoping Reynolds would be Hooker's replacement. Damn, what about McClellan? If Reynolds didn't want command, McClellan would take it, and he was everyone's first choice except Lincoln's. How was he going to defeat Lee? He was going from a corps command of 11,000 men that he'd had for 3 months to commanding an army of 100,000 men. He swallowed hard and listened. Other than chirping crickets, the blackness of early dawn was gloomily quiet. His heart pounded in his ears, keeping in step with Baldy's hoofbeats. Two lines in Halleck's letter played in his mind. No one has ever received a more important command. I cannot doubt that you will fully justify the confidence which the government has reposed in you.